enjoy hunting, I want to hook you up with Ultramatic Feeders. You need to know about this company. The website is ultramaticfeeders.com. There are a one-shop stop for everything you need with hunting blinds. They have all kind of different brands of hunting blinds, game feeders, parts for feeders. Again, the website is ultramaticfeeders.com. And friends, I've been using Smoking Tech's electric smokers for over 15 years, probably closer to 20 years. You can go online to smokingtechs.com. They're not one of your throwaway electric smokers that you can find at some package stores. These things are made to last. I've got one that I've been using for, well, that length of time, probably 15 years. Check them out online, smokingtechs.com. Well, friends, let's head up to beautiful Lake Texoma on the Texas-Oklahoma border. For all of you listening to the podcast, all of our great radio station listeners know where Lake Texoma is. My friend Bill Carey is on station. We're going to give you, Bill is going to give you an update on striper and white bass fishing. Good morning, Bill.
Well, good morning, Luke, and all y'all out in radio land.
Thank you for being with us, Bill, and of course, I'm privy to the cutting-edge information. Bill's already told me what's going on, and a fishing trip is forthcoming up there with Striper Express. But, Bill, you're telling the spawn basically is done. Texoma is such a huge reservoir that, as I've learned from you years ago, the spawn doesn't happen on a four-week basis. It's a trickle thing. But a lot of the stripers have spawned out of the rivers, they're back on the main lake. A lot of schooling action. You're telling me a ton of action, but the real crux of the thing is you're working through a lot of fish to get the keepers, right?
That's it. A lot of action. People bring in their kids, and yeah, I just tell them, we're going to wear their butts out and send them home snoring. Lots of, the guys get so spoiled, they complain at the beginning of the season, but it's a lot of fun. And especially if you stick that 6-7 pounder while you're slabbing these sand bass, all of a sudden that rod wraps against that boat and the fight is on.
That's the thing. And honestly, as old as I am and as much fishing as I've done and still get to do, I'm an action fisherman. Now, who don't like to catch a big fish? But the thing is, you know, the smaller, the huge schools of smaller stripers schooling up on top, catching them on top, you were telling me, and also slabbing directly under the boat, I guess, you know. So, and you'll catch then in the mixed schools. And yep, I'm a sand bass person, too. I mean, if you were to say, Luke, we're going to go and catch our, we're going to catch our limit on stripers, and then we're going to the dock. Well, that's okay. That's okay. But if you were to say, Luke, we're going to catch our stripers, and there are a bunch of the Magnum Lake Texoma sand bass stacked up and ready to, for you to drop a slab on and get you a limit, I'm going to say, can we have both? So it's kind of the best of two worlds as far as I'm concerned, Bill. Now, if you're a trophy striper fisherman that's looking for an 18-pounder, maybe this is not prime time. I don't think it is, like the dead of winter, you know, when you go out targeting those monsters. But for action and fish in the fish fryer, I think it's about as good as it gets, Bill.
Oh, it is. It's May. May's our favorite month of the year, folks, because the topwater starts, and we're throwing topwaters, and we're getting some good fish on top. But we are catching what we call dinks. They're yearling fish. Our stripers grow faster than any fish on any striper lake in the country. Our yearling fish will be 12 inches long, and they will have to fish them, toss them back. I've even told the guys, I said, I got it for 25 years. I would take my side cutters, dikes, and I would trim one hook off of them. So you can get them released without ripping their lips off, not hurt the fish, and that's what I do.
Release those, the dinks. But for action, and are you on the slabbing, which I literally love to do. I like that instant jolt when they nail a slab. I do. Vertical, I guess you're just working them up the water column vertically?
The guide will tell you what to do. Most of it is drop, rip, and then stop, and boom, Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're having lots of fun. What was I telling you? Todd told me the other day. He said, I broke one of the number one rules. And I joke, we got a lot of number one rules. Number one rule is never leave biting fish.
Yeah.
So I told him a story about how I had a 13-foot rise. And we were catching these stripers and magnum sand bass drifted up against some willows up on an island. And this man said, my son is here for trophy. And I said, well, I can't promise you any trophies, but we caught 30 of these magnum sand bass, and who can complain? But I let him talk me into leaving. And I gave him a scenic cruise of Lake Texoma looking for those big fish.
Yeah, don't leave biting fish.
And, that's right.
But the sand bass spawn, I'm going to assume, is a done deal. I'm sure they're the first. But now what happens, they come back out of the Ouachita and the Red River in numbers out on the main lake, and it corresponds with the shad hatch, doesn't it? I mean,
That's it.
And it's game on. Those gazillion of post-spawn white bass and stripers, too, they're chasing the billions of shad out there in open water. And thus, now, are they blowing up on the surface? I mean, can you?
Yep.
Okay, you can see that they're actually nailing
the bait. They're throwing a lot of top waters on that because the females are coming down river, folks. And again, I was talking to Captain Todd about the fish. I always want to hear good stories to tell y'all when y'all call.
Yep.
And he told me, he said, they're finished. The females are finished. They're coming back into the main lake, and they will group up in large schools and just corral these bait balls, and we've got the bait. I'm telling you, we've got the bait, which is important because I've always said, you know, it makes it harder on the fishermen, but we got a lot of mouths to feed.
And that's something that has always amazed me, and I'll never get it in my mind. You've got a school of, say, threadfin shad that are, say, they're an inch and a half long. The numbers are uncountable. There's a ball of bait down there that's just massive. Millions, I'm going to say.
I would say millions.
Millions, yes. And here you are, a fisherman. You're dropping this piece of lead down that's going to be, if you're targeting, say, sand bass, white bass, that thing may be an inch, 2 inch long, whatever, 3/4 ounce. Maybe about you're wanting to match the hatch, and you're dropping that down into those a billion, let's say, little frisky shad darting around, and that sand bass nail or striper nails your imitation bait. I don't know. I've never figured that out. If you're a gambler, what would the odds be? You know, but for some reason, I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that bait is a little different or move a little slower, maybe, but they will definitely hit it, won't they? You know,
you're right, and that's always been a great question because that's where the fish has got us always thinking. Because it's got to be the vibration, got to be if they can see it, you know, they will react and they are competing with each other, and that's what's so great about a schooling fish when they're feeding. Oh, mercy. You know, everybody's got fish on. You have 4 or 5 fish on the boat. I call it fish on the floor.
Yep. Well, and then maybe, and every fisherman listening to me right now, I know that everybody's thinking the same thing. Maybe the reason they're hitting that, say, lead slab, maybe the reason is you impart a little action to it. You're popping the rod, letting it fall, cranking it back up, letting it fall. A real shad is going to, when that sand bass comes up there to eat, he's going to be running. This one is still in the strike zone, put it that way. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's who's going to figure all this out? Nobody's ever going to have all the answers, but it's fun to think about why they will do that.
Yeah, they go into a frenzy. They just compete with each other. I've always said, Luke, if two stripers were sitting there, neither one of them was hungry, and a shad swam by, if one fish moved on that bait, the other one would follow.
The thing about a striped bass that is amazing to me, and it's very common, if you go up there and fish with Striper Express or anybody that's on the fish, you'll know this. You catch one striper, and he may be a 20-incher, he may be a 10-pounder, whatever. One striper, it is so common when you're fighting him up to the boat to look behind him or beside him and be two or three or four other stripers.
Oh yeah.
And that's the greedy nature, I guess, of a striped bass, because I mean, I fished up in Saskatchewan a lot of times in those, mm-hmm. and those fly-in lakes. I love to do that up there near the Northwest Territories and all, mm-hmm. these camps.
God's country.
Yeah, it's pristine and beautiful. Those people have heard, many of the guides I fish with have heard about Texoma and striped bass fishing.
And they say,
last time I was up there, Tazon Lake, which is up in northwestern Saskatchewan a couple years ago, the guy told me, he says, yeah, I was down there fishing. I don't know where he was striper fishing. Maybe been the East Coast. I don't know. But he said, last time I went striper fishing, he said, those fish will fight you all the way into the boat. and they will. I mean, that's just, and I agreed with him. He said, but a northern pike, and which I love to catch up there, and that's one of my favorite fish to catch. I don't know a stronger fish, but when he's done, he's done. Mm-hmm. He'll hit you. He'll fight you hard for a few minutes. I mean, real hard, like a 50-incher, hard, mm-hmm. big fight. But when he's done, he's coming on into the net. The striper, by golly, I don't know where they get that supercharged energy, but they are a game fish that to reckon with. And the good thing is, all of us living here in Texas or near Texas, we're home to, it's home to some of the best fish, striper fishing that I've ever experienced. And I fished up in Arkansas and all that, Beaver Lake and, you know, all Washita, all those mm-hmm. lakes. But Texoma, it's a natural spawn, and it just keeps on cranking them out. Bill, tell people how to contact Striper Express. You're easy to find, aren't you?
Yeah, we're just about anywhere on the internet, folks. StriperExpress.com, or you can always call us. MT is my office girl, and she's a hoot. You can call us at 903-786-4477. That is 903-786-4477.
Friends, this is Luke. If you're looking to refinance a mortgage or maybe buy some rural land or whatever, I want to recommend to you a company that I've had some stellar dealings with. It's Green Lending. Now, you can go online to greenlending.com. I'm going to give you the name of a guy that helped me tremendously, Jack Hamill. And I'm going to give you Jack's number. Give Jack a call if you want to refinance or you want to buy some rural land or whatever. Jack's number there at Green Lending is 440-223-2086. Or just go to greenlending.com and check it out. It's a great company. I had some wonderful dealings with them, and most of it was done online.